Welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Varsha.
And I'm Devin.
And
that's
we're drinking.
Keep talking.
Wait, was I supposed to keep talking?
Yes, after I say I'm Devin, then you're supposed to say something.
Oh, okay, wait, no. Okay, let me do that again. Welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Varsha.
And I'm Devin.
And today on the podcast, we're probably going to be talking a lot about Mueller, and we're going to be drinking a lot. So it's going to be good. It's going to be really good.
I just love how that you you didn't start with, this is a drunkisode, and we're recording on Thursday night. You're like, we're going to talk about Mueller.
No, which, okay.
No, it's
you
true.
You usually do on today's episode, no matter what.
I know. That's why it was really fun to make you do it.
You confused me.
I know. Well, so as Varsha mentioned, we are having our second drunkisode. And we are very excited about it. And this week, this month's drunkisode is dedicated to the Mueller investigation. And, you know, we started the show, I was really obsessed with the Mueller investigation, or just the Russia thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a Mueller investigation yet. But I was obsessed with, like, the Russia thing. And honestly, like, it's basically the Mueller investigation has become the world's best soap opera.
Yeah.
I mean, daily there are twists and turns and intrigue and, like, things to know and things to read. And it's super interesting because I think I mentioned this on earlier this week or on another episode. I was like, you know, it's just hard right now. There's so many really important stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to care about the Russia thing that much because we've got, like, we have almost bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, and
right?
It's hard to keep up, just like a soap opera. Okay, I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy and, like, a lot of soapy shows, right? It's hard to keep up with if you miss even, like, a minute of it. And
it is.
I've missed, like, months of it, man, because
there's
so much other horrible, horrible things happening that just are horrible things. And so I sort of was just like, okay, fine, Manafort's doing crimes. What's new?
Right. I mean, like, mobster's gonna mob.
Exactly.
Criminal's gonna crime.
That should be a verb. Mobster's gonna mob is a verb. Okay, no, never mind.
Right.
Sorry.
But yeah, I mean, it's basically just the whole thing is basically just like one long, like, Oprah voice, and you get an indictment, and you get an indictment, and you get an indictment, because it's obviously so bananas just on its face that it's just like, I think the soap opera is actually really apt. Like you said, if you miss one episode, you have no idea what's going on. They've introduced three new characters, and, like, there's, like, a romantic subplot with a baby that was not there 3 weeks ago. So if you miss even a little bit of it, and especially with all of the shit that's been going on, not to mention the midterms, all the shit at the border, I have missed a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
To torture this metaphor a little further.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, okay, so I'm gonna make a rule. We're gonna drink every time we say Mueller. Is that okay?
No. Well, no, because then I'll just be dead by the end of the episode.
No.
That's not useful. How about
bananas?
Okay, bananas is, I mean, it's like a classic, right? Bananas is, all right, we'll start with bananas. We can add more as we go.
Okay, yeah. So listeners, we're gonna be drinking every time we say bananas. So I'm gonna start off with a drink. And
okay. So give us, Varsha, update us. What is, like, if we've missed the last three episodes of Days of Our Mueller, which is a terrible name, but it was the first one that came to my head. What would we need to be told to get caught up?
Okay, so the first thing we have to know is that today, by stroke of luck or not luck or whatever, a big thing happened. Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's fixer, noted dickwad. Donald Trump's fixer and lawyer and just guy who does shady shit in New York, pleaded guilty to making false statements to Congress. Basically, he admitted to Congress that he continued to negotiate to build a Trump Tower in Moscow well into the 2016 presidential campaign. So basically...
Right, because before he had said to Congress, he was like, no, we stopped that. We knocked that shit off right away. So they didn't have that.
He said before it ended in January 2016, and then Mueller's like, "No, no, 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 you're a liar," and he's like, "Oh yeah, I lied."
Oh, you're right. I did lie. Well, and it's super interesting because especially with like Mueller, there's so many players. There's so many characters in this particular drama. So, you know, you've got Cohen, you've got Manafort, you've got Rick Gates, you've got, you know, you've got like a random Russian lawyer named Veselnitskaya. And I only say that because I practiced it so much so I would be able to pronounce it that I'm going to say it as much as I possibly can. But then you also have you've got Roger Stone and WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. And I mean, they're just the cast of characters itself is so large that can sometimes be hard to tell where to focus. So Michael Cohen has been an interesting one. And like you said, through some sort of, you know, twist of fate or luck, he happened to plead guilty today. So where does Michael Cohen fit into the Russia thing, as I used to call it?
Because he lied about this, and when he previously admitted that he had, like, committed crimes. Remember way back when and Donald Trump was an unindicted co-conspirator? That was when Michael Cohen was basically admitting, hey, we sort of talked about Russia a lot during the campaign.
Right, because Michael Cohen is not, like, directly involved in the Russia thing. He's more like a domestic dickwad. Where, like, the stuff that he and Trump talked about and worked on were, like, his, like, his cases with women that he slept with. And you know, illegal things that took place, but in his hometown. I realize I'm making no sense and this is not as funny as I wanted it to be, but he's only tangentially related to Russia.
But basically, according to Mother Jones, right? So Trump and Cohen, and I think also according to the court filings of Mueller, that Trump and Cohen were working with Felix Sater, who is used to be an ex-felon, but also.
I love Felix Sater. Okay, look, here's the thing. Felix Sater, he shows up in so much. A true mobster. I mean, he's like a true criminal committed to doing crime in all aspects of his life. And he has been someone who has been charged with many crimes who Trump has openly worked with. I mean, like, they don't even bother to hide these connections. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Please continue.
Yeah, no, basically, so on the Moscow venture, the idea of having a Trump Tower in Moscow, Trump and Cohen are working with Felix Sater, who is a real estate developer, but also an ex-felon who'd previously done business with both of them. But during all of this period when they're working for this, Trump is running for president. And Trump is also speaking positively about Putin and refusing to criticize him. And then news of all of this secret deal doesn't emerge until after the 2016 election. And when the story comes out, Cohen keeps insisting to Congress that, oh, no, this was ended in January 2016. You know, but now he says, I'm changing my story because that was all a lie. Right. I lied to you. Right. And so Mueller files a document. According to the document, Mueller filed. The negotiations for the Moscow deal went on at least until June 2016, when Trump was the nominee, where he was the presumptive nominee because all the other 20 candidates were like, oh, I guess I don't like Ronald Reagan enough and I'm not racist enough. What a shocker. And so they lost to Trump, right? And so that's a big thing. And so the real thing is that Cohen also – admits talking to this guy called Peskov, and this guy called Peskov is like really shady too, and his name is Dmitry Peskov, who's a top aide to Putin. And so Trump Cohen had tried to contact Peskov, and Cohen acknowledges in this filing that he emailed Peskov twice seeking help from Putin's aide on this Moscow deal. And then when he heard back, Cohen explained the project. He explained the name of the Russian development company, which the Trump organization was working with. He basically asked. He asked Peskov's assistant, there's another Russian in all of this, and Peskov's assistant asks all these detailed questions about what other stuff can you do for Russia, and it's weird. It's just weird.
Okay, I just gonna stop you. Okay, look, I'm sure this is all very interesting and sordid, and all of this is going to come out. You know, I'm really looking forward to reading the book that someone writes about all of this. In like 40 years with, you know, some grace of hindsight. But I think what is super fascinating in all of this is it's so fucking obvious.
It's all
it's
in the
so
open.
Fucking obvious.
It's not like
and I
a
feel
secret
like,
thing.
And people always say like, yeah, people are like allegedly. I'm like, do we have to do that? Do we have to say allegedly? Because this feels very not alleged. This feels very much like this is what happened. And I understand like there's not concrete proof. There's this whole idea like mm-hmm. smoke isn't fire. And just because something looks that way and it what, you know, it might like, you know, it's a little wishy-washy. But at the same time, I'm like, we're really it's almost like the Steele dossier, right? Where yes, a lot of it was unverified. People were like, oh, we can't trust this. Oh, this isn't perfect, blah, blah, blah. But then they start to verify pieces of this information. It feels like the same thing here. So I think what's important about Michael Cohen talking to whomever in Russia about this, about the Moscow Tower project, which is what it was really all about, has less to do with the implications of what that means itself, and more has to do with the verification of the overarching theme of mm-hmm. what's going on here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think another big thing about this is that so they're, like you said, it's all in the open. And there's like a reason, you know, John Oliver calls this stupid Watergate is because Watergate, there was like no Twitter. There was no like 24-hour news service. Right. And Nixon was able to do all of this shit in secret. You know, so all the illegal obstruction right. stuff that Nixon is doing, he does it in secret and people only find out months upon months upon months later.
After
right?
the fact.
And Donald yeah. Trump is just doing it out in public because he's just literally tweeting. He's literally making videos and saying stuff or being like, Cohen is like a rat. You know, he was too weak to like stay on my side.
Okay.
Did you see that?
Right. And we're like, we're very much going into like bad mob yes. movie territory here. Like we're very much headed into this space where Donald Trump is literally finally approaching caricature of a caricature of yeah. himself.
And I think the New Yorker makes a really interesting point too about how Cohen's antics and this whole Trump Tower bullshit. So the whole Trump Tower in Moscow bullshit, it ends in June 2016. That's the real story, right? Cohen has now sworn to it in court. He's admitted to lying to Congress. But in June 2016, what else happens? There's this meeting in New York that nobody knows about. Yeah. And so
I realize I shouldn't be this excited or
treason,
like this shocked by this information. About treason. But no, but it's so, but the thing is, it's like, this is what I'm talking about. It all happens at the yeah, same fucking
it's
time.
Like, it's like the end of the spy movie or at the end of the season of Scandal where like you see the flashback and it's all happening. I know I'm getting tinfoil hat and it could also be the whiskey, but.
No, it is not. It is not. That is exactly what it is. I think I've even described it this way before. Like the best part of any yeah. heist movie is the part where they go back and tell you the things that they yes. didn't tell you the first time around because they like, you know, whatever, it's like the big reveal. And but that's what all of this is starting to feel like. Like, I feel like Michael Cohen pleading guilty to lying to Congress is less about, again, like, it's a piece of the puzzle, not the puzzle. It's the reveal of the flashback that we didn't yeah. see the first time around.
But right? basically this article, New Yorker article, also makes it clear that like Don Jr. is probably in trouble. Also, like, we haven't talked about this because it happened a couple of days ago. So basically 10 years ago, Manafort has just been committing a lot of fucking crimes.
Well, Manafort is so committed to criming that he has tampered with yeah. witnesses. He has lied about things that he didn't need to lie about. He's literally taken every good thing that's been handed to him and thrown it away with both hands. I mean, like I've said before, I'll make this joke again. It's almost like a Democrat who's been handed something yeah. great and then throws it away because they yeah. don't know what to do with it. And Manafort is very committed to his campaign of completely fucking himself.
But that's like the weird thing about all of this Russia stuff is that it's all like connected. And if you miss one piece of it, though, you sound like somebody who's wearing a tinfoil hat. So you really have to get it right. So that's right. why I feel like I'm happy that I've not ignored it, but just sort of been like, okay, for like a while now, because I'm like, I don't have all the pieces yet.
Right.
I don't have all the pieces yet. But I think we have enough right. pieces now, and this has been true for a while, though. This has been true since Michael Cohen turned on Donald Trump, which was, was that a couple months ago? I don't remember at this point. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
But, like, when Michael Cohen finally turned and yeah. Trump basically was an unindicted co-conspirator in Michael's Cohen's crimes, we were like, oh yeah, no, no, this collusion shit is real. Also, when we found out about Don, you know, when Don Jr. released his fucking emails like a moron on Twitter, that was also the time when we knew collusion was real. So even if let's just say, let's just give them all the benefit of the doubt, even though they don't deserve it, and say, you know, the emails and all this stuff, it didn't actually amount to anything. Russia would have interfered on its own, or Trump didn't get anything for colluding, or Russia didn't get anything for meddling in the election. Mm. Let's just say it was only quote unquote attempted collusion or attempted meddling in the election. It's still a crime.
I feel like attempted collusion is
still collusion. It's still a crime.
Well, here's the thing. And I think the other really important part of all of this is, again, it's the puzzle piece. Yes. It's the verification of what we all know in our gut to be true. But it's also the way that it is slowly removing Donald Trump's brain from his body. And the sort of bananas drink.
Okay.
But the sort of like bananas, like unhinged response he has to this. Sarah and I used to tell this story a lot. We don't tell it so much anymore. We almost named this podcast when we were first talking about it and talking about the show. We almost named this podcast a Coke-induced Twitter rage. And I even have the domain name that I bought when we thought very seriously that was going to be it parked to prove it. because we thought that it was like, oh yeah, I mean, this president is obviously just like in one extended Coke-induced Twitter rage.
Yeah.
And that has become so achingly clear in recent days. I mean, we're talking about 4 a.m. tweets in which he says, quote, "Did you ever see an investigation in Moore in search of a crime? At the same time, Mueller and the angry Democrats aren't even looking at the atrocious and perhaps subversive crimes that were committed by crooked Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. A total disgrace. When will this illegal Joseph McCarthy-style witch hunt? No one has shattered so many innocent lives ever end, or will it just go on forever? After wasting more than $40 million, is that possible? It has proven only one thing. There was no collusion with Russia. So ridiculous." I quoted that. I literally did not change a single word of that.
It's so frustrating. And I think the reason that the right, or like Fox News or whatever, gets to call a lot of people who are into the Russia investigation bananas drink is because they rightly are, they are correct in that we don't have all the pieces. But slowly the pieces are getting there, right? Because a couple of days ago, I think this was on Tuesday, they found that the key part of the investigation that Mueller is conducting is contacts between the Trump confidants and WikiLeaks. Like, that shit is still going on. The Roger Stone shit. That's still a thing too, right? So basically, there's multiple layers of this. There's the fact that the Russian government, led by Putin, wanted to meddle in the election, regardless of the fact that...
But I also think here is where Fox News...
Yeah.
What's a gift to something like Fox News or the right sort of, you know, spin machine is that there is a lot going on here, and a lot of it is interconnected and a lot of it is not. And so, you know, when you talk about people like Roger Stone and Michael Cohen, who are almost like orbiting figures, versus like Mueller, I mean, versus like Manafort and Rick Gates and Konstantin Kilimnik, you know, when you talk about like those people, like kind of the core, and then there's all these rotating orbital parts, and then there's parts about, you know, money launder, like monies and banks and all this other stuff. So there's so much going on. A lot of it's connected, a lot of it's not, and people do not understand it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. No one has all of the pieces. And so that makes it easier to make it feel like a house of cards, when in reality it's not. It's more just like the elephant that we can't see every part of yet.
This isn't even house of cards though, because house of cards, you know, regardless of Kevin Spacey being a total creep, is like real sinister shit. This is like Veep meets, oh man, The Thick of It. The Thick of It is this British TV show with Peter Capaldi. It's really fucking hilarious, but basically it's all of British Parliament being like stupid AF, right? Stupid as fuck. And this is Veep. This is Veep.
Did you say stupid AF? No. Did you say AF to shorten AF or as fuck, and you said AF?
I did say AF. I'm sorry.
No.
I drink. Say AF well in person.
That,
too.
Nope. No.
I'm going to drink.
Drink right now. That is completely unacceptable, and I'm embarrassed for you.
Thing, Devin, you wouldn't understand. Actually, no, look, just a Varsha thing. I don't think you're so.
I was gonna say, look, I understand that you're a youth, but that's a bridge too far.
Yeah. Okay. But basically, this is me, right? So this thing, the.
I like that you're trying to smooth this over, but I will shame you for this further later. But go on.
So this is the WikiLeaks thing. Is the actual? I think it's the real meat of whatever the fuck is going on here. Because so basically, it centers around three people: Roger Stone, Jerome Corsi, who we haven't talked about, who's this weird right-wing conspiracy theorist, and Paul Manafort. And so basically, according to what we learned on Tuesday, right, August 2nd, 2016, days after Stone instructed Corsi to get intel on these email dumps coming from WikiLeaks, Corsi emailed Stone, "Word is friend in embassy plans two more dumps. One shortly after I'm back, second in October, impact planned to be very damaging." That's a real fucking thing. That was an email sent to Roger fucking Stone. And then he basically could have just written, "Hey, here is all I have colluded with. Here are what we have achieved." Like, the getting to the fucking crime. Right. And also, we know all of this because Corsi leaked these draft court documents he got from Mueller. And it included the incriminating email. So he just hurt himself even more. But basically, Corsi was negotiating a plea agreement with Mueller, but then withdrew from the plea agreement. And so that shit is really confusing. But it's not something you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to piss off the prosecutors by leaking their documents. And then Mueller, another level of this, I'm sorry to freak out people who are drinking along with us, but Mueller also focused on this May 2017 meeting between Manafort and Ecuadorian President Lenin Moreno, because Assange
Someone new now? Oh, in Ecuador. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wait, you just blew my mind, Af.
Yeah. So, like, Mueller is basically wants to be like, "Hey, Manafort, why the fuck are you discussing? Why are you talking to Moreno? And did you discuss Assange? Like, what is happening?" And also, on Tuesday, The Guardian also reports that Manafort, our friendly campaign manager mobster who likes to embezzle money in the form of ostrich coats, may have met
ostrich coats.
Actually, no, not may have. Manafort personally visited Assange multiple times in the London embassy just before he joined Trump campaign in 2016.
Well, this is also where we know that WikiLeaks has been like kind of a known Russian cutout and not like a thing, right? And again, it just goes back to this idea of it's like a gift to the spin machine.
Exactly.
That WikiLeaks is more than one thing at a time, if that makes sense.
And basically what I'm saying is that I'm recapping all of this because it all happened out in the fucking open. And also, I don't want to forget where the goalposts initially were way back in November 9th, 2016, actually during all of 2016. The goalposts were, Donald Trump said, "I never had any contacts with Russians. I'm not actually telling WikiLeaks to hack Hillary Clinton's email. We've never talked to any Russians ever. We don't even know where Russia is." That was his line in 2016. Right. And then he kept saying it after he won the election. He kept saying it for most of 2016.
Oh my God, wait, that's such a good point. Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry, you're blowing me in my mind again. Because you're right. What this third was is, oh, we had no contact with Russia at all.
Exactly.
And then that was disproved. So it just keeps going and going and going. So it's not even like he's ever been caught in a lie, because he just keeps moving what that lie is. Oh my God.
Because initially, after that Donald Trump Tower meeting came out with the Veselnitskaya, if it's later in the summer, I love it. After that meeting came out.
Demi Lovato song.
I'm going to drink for that. But yeah, so basically, this is what frustrates me about the whole Mueller investigation, is that every time I look up or we have a new thing comes out, right, I'm like, oh man, they're just going to move the goalposts again. But I think he's narrowing down. Mueller is fucking narrowing down on it closer and closer and closer, and it's harder for Donald Trump to get out of it anymore. It's because the lies are becoming more and more narrow. So it's harder to make – it's like basically like when you move the goalpost, you're moving it closer and closer to the edge of the field, if I can torture this metaphor even more, right? But it's harder to move the goalpost into the fucking parking lot anymore. It's really hard.
You're right.
You can't move it anymore. And I think that's because Mueller has fucking prosecuted organized, or he has organized crime prosecutors on his team. He has cybercrime prosecutors on his team. He has financial crime prosecutors on his team. So he knows how to deal with organized crime. So he's like, yo, this is dumb Sopranos. Like, we have to take this down like dumb Sopranos. And that's what he's doing. And it's right. It's very impressive. It's also
right, they're taking a very organized crime approach to this, right? Like, the way they're tackling it is very much like you would tackle, like, a crime family.
Exactly.
And the language, though, that's being thrown around by people in Trump mm-hmm. himself and then in Trump orbit is very crime family, right? It's very much reminiscent of this idea of, like, you know, he was calling Cohen, what, a weak and stupid man for breaking or whatever. I mean, he's used the term literally, like, Manafort won't break, right? Like, that is something that he said.
So creepy. And so authoritarian,
it's
too,
creepy.
Right?
Exactly.
It's so authoritarian to be like, oh, yeah, it's just so authoritarian. It's like you're Putin in an interview. And remember when, like, right. if somebody asked Putin, what do you think of these protesters? And Putin would be like, well, I think – I can't do a Russian accent. Well, Putin will just be like,
no,
well,
please try.
Think-
please try. Please do it. Please do it. Don't do it.
Okay. So, you know, the interviewer asks Putin, you know, what do you think of these protesters, or what do you think of your opponent in the presidential election, or what do you think happened to this person you may have murdered in Britain? He's like, well, I think they fell off the stairs. I can't do a Russian accent. I'm sorry.
Thank you for trying. That made my whole night better.
But basically, it's like,
I will hold that for the rest of my life.
It's Putin's creepy grin as he says, they shouldn't have fallen off the stairs, or that's
right,
a nice,
right.
like, that's a nice, you know, thing you got would be those are some nice legs you have. Would be really sad if somebody broke them. That's what Trump is trying to do. But because he's
right.
so ridiculous, it doesn't seem scary, but it is scary. It is scary that
no,
for the
really
past
scary.
Few months, he's been dangling a pardon in front of Manafort's face. And Manafort's like, okay, I just got to wait for the fucking pardon. I just got to wait for the fucking pardon. But that's actually very authoritarian to say, don't worry, I'll take the wheels of justice in my own fucking hand and just pardon you. Just be patient. That's not a thing you do.
And there's something deeper going on here because, look, even with the pardon, Manafort mm-hmm. knows, everyone besides Trump, because I really don't believe that Trump understands this at all, but yeah. everyone understands that even with a pardon, Manafort and pretty much all of the other players associated with this are subject to state
mm-hmm.
State
exactly.
crimes as well. And a pardon is only for federal level crimes.
Yep.
So everybody understands that even with a pardon, there is still going to be some sort of legal exposure and possible prosecution. And that's why I think, and this is why a lot of people think, that there's more going on here than just Manafort, you know, keeping his mouth shut for this, you know, to hold out for this pardon. I think that's a little more sinister than that. I think mm-hmm. that Manafort has gotten involved with, you know, we've been calling them mobsters, but real mobsters and I think he's got bigger problems than sitting in jail for the rest of his life. Again, not to sound like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat here or anything, but I think there's something to be said about the fact that he's probably more afraid for his life or the lives of his family than he is about sitting in jail. And I think this has that the way that he is cooperating or not cooperating, as the case may be, with Mueller has a lot more to do with that than it does to do with waiting for a pardon from Trump, because a pardon only goes so far.
And I also want to bring up the point, like, obviously Fox News is spinning this and, like, just downplaying it as much as they can, but also our least favorite senator, one of our least favorite senators, who's now I think going to be leading the judiciary, fucking Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, was like, it's just a process crime. I cannot do Lindsey Graham's Oof. Accent. Oh man, I've forgotten Oof. How to do it. Oh man, okay.
Start with
I'm
Marcia.
Senator Lindsey Graham. I don't see anything wrong with what I can't do it. I can't do it. Okay, wait.
Are you a beauty pageant contestant from the state of Alabama? What is wrong with you?
I have never been to South Carolina, but you know, I just want to say to all my history nerds out there, I found out that South Carolina, I mean, I knew this beforehand, but we had our Civil War lecture today. South Carolina was the first state to secede. So, like, fuck Lindsey Graham. just going to say it. I apologize to all the South Carolinians out there who are no longer neo-Confederates, but fuck Lindsey Graham. I'm just going to associate him with the Confederacy from now on. But basically, Lindsey Graham is like, this is just a process crime. You know, Cohen hasn't done anything wrong at all. And I'm like, yes, he has. He is going to be like, he is going to either serve time or pay a lot of fines or do something because he did a lot of shit wrong. He did a lot of shit wrong. He was a really shitty lawyer. He did some weird shit with taxicab medallions. And also, he fucking lied to Congress. And so basically, like, Graham was like, I've yet to see anybody indicted for actually colluding with the Russians. Graham, that's what Mueller is fucking doing. He is literally pointing to the fact that there is a connection between WikiLeaks, Russia, and the Trump campaign. That is what he has done. You can't just find an email, Manafort, because actually, none of that. Lindsey Graham, you motherfucker, that email fucking exists. Jerome Corsi sent an email to Roger Stone being like, hey, WikiLeaks, dump in some emails in a couple months.
Right.
It happened. That's the proof you need. Right. What are you doing? He is such a toady. The reason I.
A toady? What does that mean?
Despise Lindsey Graham is. A toady is like where you just – you're basically a flack for like somebody else. You don't have your own views. Yeah, you don't actually care about anything. It's like being Jeff Flake, but you're Lindsey Graham.
You're Jeff Flake, but your name's Lindsey Graham. But they're both Jeff Flake.
Yeah. Lindsey Graham frustrates me so much because remember when Lindsey Graham back in 2015 was throwing his cell phone against a wall after Donald Trump gave out his cell phone number and being like, I'm never going to let anybody impugn my honor and all that bullshit. He turned around and pulled a fucking Ted Cruz. Like, he's a bigger suck up to Donald Trump than I think Donald Trump's kids are. It's bananas. The Republicans are trying to do whatever the fuck they can to downplay this, but the Michael Cohen thing and the stuff that's come up about Manafort and the stuff that's come out about WikiLeaks, it's a big fucking deal. Because eventually, and I think I can finally see it now, because wow, being a prosecutor sounds really hard, but also a lot of fun. But Mueller is like narrowing down on it. He realized that Donald Trump was going to continue moving the goalposts. So he's like, okay, let's push it as far as it can go. And he's finding really specific shit. Also, according to 538, this is the 33rd person Mueller has charged. 33rd person Mueller has indicted or charged, right? So it's a really, really deadly witch hunt. It's a really deadly witch hunt.
I think it's also really telling that we're at the point where like Trump, he's saying that like Mueller is a Democrat and they're not looking into Hillary and really scrambling, really like flailing his arms out looking for anything, which again is very authoritarianism, saying, oh, look into my political opponent. And I'm not even going to attempt to do a Russian accent because I know I can't do one. But basically, this is something Putin would do, right? This is something that Putin has jailed or killed political opponents. I think that Mueller has. Because he has not been leaking, has not created fanfare, has not been partisan in any real demonstrable way, you know, it's hard to take seriously these sort of attacks that lob these insults that are like, oh, you're so partisan. Oh, this is a witch hunt. Oh, you're just doing this just to get at me. Because really, a lot of the people that Mueller has charged have really not been in the direct...
Yeah.
Trump orbit. And again, I don't think that's a mistake. I don't think that's on accident. I think Mueller is kind of showing the American people like this is not personal for him. This is about finding out what happened. And again, in these sort of organized crime cases, you always spiral. You start on the very outer edge and you start with like the lackeys and the, what did you call it? The
toadies? Yeah. Yeah.
Toadies. And the, you know, the getaway drivers, and you kind of spiral in tighter and tighter and tighter until you get to the head of the crime family.
Yeah.
As it were.
Which is like, it's so weird that the head of our crime family is so dumb.
Yeah, exactly. And is the president of the United States. Yeah.
I also want to talk about some other toadies and also some like standouts on the Republican Party, which is weird. Right. So, okay. So Jeff Flake, right? Jeff Flake, this dumbass who's like retiring in a couple of months. Not even a couple months. In like a month.
Flake.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Jeff Flake. And I know what you're going to say and I want you to say it, but I'm not giving Jeff Flake any credit because.
Oh, no, I'm not giving him credit Jeff at all. Flake. He's like, I'm going to withhold my vote for any judicial nominees until this Mueller protection bill is voted on, right? But Jeff Flake, you dumbass, can you do math? You need two senators to let anybody care, right? But instead of working to get Collins or Murkowski or any other senator on board to vote against judicial nominees, he's just standing there being like, I'm going to vote no, even though my no vote doesn't matter. But then, then this fucking racist vote suppression guy comes up for a judgeship, district court judgeship, far. He's an asshole, total dickwad, right? And Senator Tim Scott has some concerns, but Tim Scott votes for cloture. And Jeff Flake withdraws his no vote as well. So Pence can break the tie because other senators voted no and all that stuff, right? So like it votes for cloture. And Jeff Flake, I don't think he actually committed to voting no on Farr until today. Tim Scott's like, fine, I won't vote yes on the final vote on for Farr. Farr is like one of the worst judicial nominees Trump has put up ever. And actually, Farr could come up for nomination again in 2019 because we have there are more Republican senators right now after after Corker and Flake leave. There are Cindy Hyde Smith won, the racist from Mississippi, right. A bunch of other people have won, like Rick Scott, right? But I just want to say that like I applaud Tim Scott for today. But Tim Scott also, you know, there were a bunch of other like racist ass judges you should probably have voted no on. Tim Scott has voted no on two judges. He has voted no on this judge, and he basically forced McConnell's hand to pull the nomination of another judge. Tim Scott has acted honorably twice. Jeff Flake is going to be remembered as a coward. Those were my two points. I wanted to give Tim Scott a little bit of credit and tell Jeff Flake to go fuck himself. Go fuck yourself, Jeff Flake. Your name literally is – your last name is your character. It's like a Shakespearean tragedy where, you know, the irony is too much to swallow when you have secondhand embarrassment. When I read your name, Jeff Flake, I get secondhand embarrassment because your name is so perfect to your character. Like, your biography is all going to be about how you were a flake. None of the biographies people write about you are going to be nice. And also, they're not going to sell a lot of copies.
And also, no one will buy them.
No one's going to remember you.
No one wants to read your shit.
No one buy them. They're going to be in like the bottom or like the back Costco of the library bin. Or they're going to be that
– like the $1 Costco.
They're going to be in the Costco bin. Oh my God. Oh my God. Jeff Flake is going to write an autobiography that no one's going to buy.
I know. Ugh. It's going to be in the Costco bin. Okay. Ugh. So we've talked about Russia and that's been fun. We did not really get that far into it because Varsha and I are both pretty drunk and we're not making a ton of sense.
But we did explain all the Michael Cohen stuff and the Manafort stuff and the WikiLeaks stuff.
Sort of. Yeah. I mean sort of. I'm not judging you. I'm judging me because, like, I also have not gone into this. But I do want to talk about something that's very, very important. The White House Christmas decorations.
Oh, my God. I really wanted to talk about
look,
this.
Look, here's the
because
thing.
It's here's the thing. Weirdest shit.
It's a murder forest. She literally – Melania Trump. And here's the other thing, though. Like, we've talked about this before is with the whole Be Best initiative, which we made fun of on our last drunk episode.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's not just Melania Trump who's sitting there, like, coming up with all of this stuff. Like, not only is that not how any of this works, but, like, I don't think she cares enough. And again, I had a whole rant on the last Drunkisode about the First Lady and ranting and, like, Melania Trump's a terrible person, but that doesn't mean that we should force her to be the First Lady. But this isn't just her. This is the whole office. There's a ton of people involved in this, and which makes it even worse that they have put up a murder forest and called it Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I'm sure everyone has seen the picture by now, but it's just a bunch of like 8 or 9 foot blood red trees.
It's so weird.
And as that comes out of my mouth, like, I thought maybe it would sound like, oh, that sounds festive. It sounds like murder.
It looks scary too. She just looks scary.
It's so scary.
The thing is, I truly don't give a shit about Christmas because one, like, I don't celebrate Christmas. I give gifts to people who need gifts in my life. I do Secret Santa with a group of friends, right? Like, I don't actually have a Christmas tree in my house. I'm not Christian. And I don't give a shit if the White House celebrates Christmas or doesn't. But it's just hilarious and weird.
Right.
Also, it's also really, it's a weird kind of infuriating in the sense that I'm not actually angry. I'm just a little bit miffed off because for 8 years, Fox News is like, the Democrats don't care about Christmas. Obama doesn't care about Christmas. It's a war on Christmas. And then we find out that like the Republican perfect American first lady cannot fucking decorate the White House. Like, what?
Right. Again, this is where I go off.
Or the whole, sorry, the whole first lady staff. Right. Or the whole White House can't sign off on proper decorations. Just have a normal fucking tree with real ornaments. Right. What the fuck?
Well, and, you know, again, this was such a huge part of it. Like, the war on Christmas and, like, people don't respect Christmas. And I'm like, if you want people to respect Christmas, don't dip trees in blood, put them in the White House, and then ask people to, like, worship at them. It's not anything. Like, I don't understand it. I mean,
I just don't understand how a whole staff could sign off on these decorations. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, I don't care about the first lady's personal tastes. I don't care about Donald Trump's tastes. I just don't understand how in a matter of 2 years, you've had a president who literally has no idea how to do his job.
Right. And really, they don't have a first lady or an East Wing that knows how to do their job either. And also, last year, the Christmas decorations were also terrifying. It was like, it was really scary.
It was like it was the winter's coming. Yeah. It was the Game of Thrones winter's coming.
Yeah, it was literally dead trees. Yeah. And then this year, she goes and tops it with not dead trees, but trees dripping in blood. And like, I feel like this is what the drunk episode is for. Is to make fun of things like bad taste in Christmas decorations. I have a Christmas tree. I mean, we do Hanukkah and Christmas. And, you know, Christmas tree was always really important to me. It was like a big part of my family. And ours is really ugly because it's an ugly, like we bought on sale this like fake tree that has like pine cones all over it and little like holly berries. And it's quite ugly. But, you know, you put all the ornaments on it. It's like Christmas cheer and that's fine. And this is, but yeah. I almost feel like they're doing this on purpose. Like they're making Christmas, which is, you know, if you want to give it the most charitable veneer, right? I think how they put it in one of these bland ass newsletters that the White House sends out, they said the Christmas season reflects the best of the American spirit, regardless of beliefs, right? So it's like, oh, the spirit of giving, this family and friends and love and putting pretty glass ornaments on pretty trees, like, you know. You don't have to be Christian to like appreciate like, you know, friends and family and food and pretty things, right? Am I making sense? You can tell me if I'm not.
No, you are. You are. Like that's basically like that's the point of Christmas, right? Like it's in every fucking Christmas movie. Christmas is about family. And it doesn't have to be about like Jesus or whatever, unless you're like Megyn Kelly and you insist Santa has to be white.
Right.
But like
Weird Hill to
die on. I'm just saying, like, yeah. Because Santa's not real, Megyn Kelly. Yeah. Santa's not real. It bothers me every time I think about it. It really bothers me that a grown woman with advanced degrees didn't realize that it doesn't matter what she's saying because Santa's not real. Like, that's the one Megyn Kelly segment that bothers me. I know she's a racist and horrible, but that really bothers me. Okay, back to Melania Trump and the Christmas thing, right? It's just like you spent 8 years – the Republicans in general just spent 8 years claiming that Christmas was their holiday.
Right.
And Democrats fucked it up and they just can't do it normal. It's just, it's weird to me. It's really weird, but it's also objectively hilarious. Right. I find it hilarious.
And I just also wonder, again, this is tinfoil hat hair. This is me being a conspiracy theorist. So like, do not try to put rationality on what I'm about to say. But there's part of me that's like, no. They're doing this on purpose. They are building Christmas up as this wonderful thing. And then they're putting out these horrifying decorations to troll us, to like break our spirits, to I'm not totally sure, but like something about it feels so sinister. And I don't know.
It does. So bad. Can I say a belated holiday complaint?
Yes, please.
So, Diwali.
Yes.
Did I already complain about this on the show once?
You did not. You did
not. I don't
know
if I did.
No.
I don't care, but I will complain. So Diwali was like a month ago, right?
Right.
And I don't know if people have watched the Office episode with Michael Scott when he goes to Kelly Kapoor's Diwali party, but like Michael Scott thinks Diwali is Indian Halloween, and that episode is hilarious.
Right.
Because nobody understands what the fuck Halloween is except for Dwight. Nobody understands what the fuck Diwali is except for Dwight. And it's hilarious. But so, like, I go home to celebrate Diwali, and Diwali happens, And like 5 days later, the Trump administration tweets out a picture of them lighting a diya with a bunch of Indian people, like the worst of the worst, like Raj Shah and Seema fucking Verma and a bunch of other horrible Indian people who've sold their souls to the GOP because they're Hindu nationalists. And the tweet is like, Diwali is celebrated by a lot of Jains, Sikhs, and like a bunch of other like Indian religions. He doesn't mention a really important religion, Hinduism, where the holiday of Diwali comes from. And I remember tweeting this on the day of it, on the day the tweet came out, because I was just like, I am barely a Hindu. I barely count as a Hindu, but this is objectively hilarious and also so stupid. Like, how can you not know this? You have a lot of Hindu nationalists, like, voting for you. They want you to give them their family's green cards and not, like, you know, the scary Muslims or people from across the border. Like, how are you this oblivious? Right. You have an Indian dude working in your administration.
Right.
Raj Shah is right there working. How does Raj Shah not realize, hey, Dan Scavino, the guy running Donald Trump's Twitter account, maybe put Hindus in the thing? Because the thing is, they didn't just tweet it out once. So they did that, right? They didn't put Hindus in it. They deleted the tweet and then tweeted it again and forgot to put Hindus again.
Wow.
Again. Like, what wow. are you doing? Oh my God. It made my day because it was objectively hilarious.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a Veep episode. This is the best Veep episode.
Right, right. They just like can't
but yeah,
get it.
Yeah, and this is a weird way to say representation matters, but representation matters, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but you're right. And it's not a weird way. I think it's a really good way because it is those sort of like smaller mundane things. Not that holidays are mundane, but like maybe what I mean is
it's the layups of the presidency, right?
Right. Okay, that's a good way to put it.
A Christmas tree.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The layups of the presidency.
It's a fucking layup.
Right. You know, doing these
things.
What
are you doing? Like, yeah. I can't do a layup. But it's the metaphor that counts.
Exactly, right? It's like, it's supposed to be so easy. A Christmas tree, a holiday tweet, you know, visiting the fucking, visiting memorials on Veterans Day that this president has been completely incapable of doing. Completely incapable.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe I'd also just like to take, as someone who actually, I think I've talked about this a little bit before, but I really do enjoy fashion. I enjoy decor. I enjoy the sort of very how do you put it, like the shallow, the kind of shallow stuff, right? I really do enjoy it. And so as a first lady who is a former model and who has kind of been built up as this arbiter of taste by not just
as like the new Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah, exactly. She even wore a Jackie Kennedy getup for the inauguration because that's what she wanted to present herself as. And you know, the way you present yourself, and this is why this is a whole thing we could also go into maybe another drunk episode, but like the way you present yourself and the way that you choose your fashion and the way that you choose to present yourself to the world really says a lot. And so the fact that that's how she has positioned herself in this political space and has used fashion in a very political sense. That's why for me, a murder tree is not just a murder tree. It's a symbol.
Exactly. No, that's so true. And it's not just because I'm not just agreeing with you because I'm drunk. I really do, because I saw that picture and I was like, this is not what you're supposed to do to the White House.
This is not right. And no one thinks it's supposed to be what you do. No one saw that and was like, this is normal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no one's like, this is what you're supposed to do for Christmas or any holiday. And so that's why I think there's more to it than just that, because she has already set herself up as using fashion and decor as politics.
Yeah.
That has been her strength. Her weakness. And so to ignore something like blood red Christmas trees seems silly.
It's silly. And again, I know we've been spending a lot of time talking about this. It was just really funny, but also really weird. And I'm not being all like, because everyone on the right is like on Fox News is fake outraged over really dumb stuff all the time. I'm not actually outraged. I'm more outraged by the fact that like Melania Trump is actually complicit in the administration. She actually was a birther. You know, she's a horrible person. Like I definitely am more mad about that stuff. I'm just saying, why can't you do the easy stuff right? Can we not have one moment of normalcy? Just one normal shit? Like just one normal
This is thing? Why we can't have nice things, yes, Melania Trump.
Exactly.
This is why we can't have nice
we
things.
We can't have nice things. Also, exactly. I've realized I'm drunk enough to yell about this now. And a quick non sequitur, John Kerry, my love, my light, former Secretary of State, you cannot run for president in 2020. Just saying that. Just we can move.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was
is he putting his name into the room?
Oh, no. He was like, I will have to think about it. I'm like, no, John Kerry, go fucking knit. Go knit.
No, you don't.
Right now, you don't make a fucking sweater for your grandkids or for your dog. Your dog is adorable. Make a sweater for your dog. What are you doing? You cannot run for president.
Please knit a sweater for your dog.
Just
oh God. Wait, no, that's horrible.
I mean, maybe he won't definitely run, but you cannot even be thinking about it. You just like Hillary Clinton. Just like Hillary Clinton, you were a former Secretary of State who lost a presidential election. And you were a senator before that.
Oh,
Hillary Clinton, former senator, former presidential candidate, former Secretary of State. Neither of you can run for president in 2020, right? Joe Biden, former vice president.
Yeah.
A lot of creepy shit to his name. You shouldn't run for president in 2020. Bernie Sanders. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Bernie Sanders did something that pisses me off so much today. Again, I apologize for the non sequitur. But basically, reading this article about Senate committee appointments, right? And Chuck Schumer, the worst minority leader ever, is basically doing a shit job at his job. He's shit at his job.
No one's going to buy his autobiography either.
No, they're not. They're not. He was an exterminator before this. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Before he was
okay. Maybe I'd buy that autobiography.
Yeah, he was an. I'm like 99% sure about this. Okay, so Bernie Sanders doesn't want to leave the budget committee, but he wants to leave the energy committee in the Senate, the Energy and Resources Committee, which deals with a lot of important stuff, mainly climate change. You know, the plan for climate. So if the if the Democrats take back the Senate in 2020. We need a strong committee on climate. We need a strong energy committee, right? We need an actual progressive. And I can say a lot of negative things about Bernie Sanders, but at the very least, he believes climate change exists and wants really progressive, quick, and he wants really progressive and important things, and he wants to help fix and, you know, save the fucking earth, right? If he leaves the committee, I wonder who's next in line. Oh, yeah. It's Senator Joe fucking Manchin of West Virginia who shoots climate change bills in his ads. He is going to be the head of the committee.
I can't.
So the two people.
I can't wait to primary Joe Manchin.
Yeah, the two people who are the dumbest today are Chuck Schumer for being bad at his job, for not being able to find another way out of this. Yeah. I hope he does. So far, I don't think it will happen. And also Bernie Sanders, because basically the reason Bernie Sanders is leaving the Energy Committee is because it's a lot of fucking work. And he wants to run a vanity presidential campaign again in 2020. So he's going to leave the Energy Committee, leave an issue he probably really, really fucking cares about, that a lot of his voters and supporters really fucking care about, that he could help the country with in 2020 when, you know, Democrats eventually take the Senate, because I truly believe we will. But no. Yeah. I have to run a presidential campaign. I don't have time to do my job as a fucking senator. I'm going to let Joe Manchin, the guy who probably doesn't believe climate change is real, lead the Energy Committee. Ugh.
Right. You're right. That's fucking awful.
This is why men shouldn't lead anything.
Right? Men are way too emotional to lead things, Varsha.
They really are. They really are.
They're too emotional, and they really like they get into these like cycles where they're just so bitchy, and I just don't know what to do with them. Yeah. And like, I don't know. I think maybe we should like tell them to step aside and let, you know.
Yeah.
Qualified people.
I think, paraphrasing my least favorite president, I think we should stop letting men vote until we figure out what the hell is going on. And I don't mean temporarily. I mean for a few decades at least. Just for
like a couple of decades. We'll like figure it out. And to harken back to our last drunk episode, Varsha?
Yeah.
Men are trash.
They are trash. Drink.
Drink. I'm just going to say, we're going to be back here on Monday, so, or probably Tuesday, because Varsha teaches on Monday now, but we'll be back here on Tuesday. So in the meantime, Hellions, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to our incoherent drunken ramblings. And we will see you back here next week. But in the meantime, please have a great weekend, raise some hell, and remember to practice some compassion. And take some time for yourself. Self-care is very, very important. And whether that's having a glass of wine or watching a movie or taking a long walk, please take good care of yourself. So we will see you next week. Hellbent Podcast is a production of Hellbent Media. It is produced by me, Devin Handy.
And Varsha Venkata Subramanian.
And we, of course, take input from co-creator Sarah Lerner.
You can follow us on social media at Hellbent Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
And you can join our Facebook group, DickwadsBegone, at facebook.com/groups/DickwadsBegone.
You can follow me on Twitter at @Varsha_Venkat.
And you can follow me at Devin Handy. Also, remember to subscribe and rate us on iTunes and rate us 5 stars, because that's just the rules of feminism. Tune in every Monday and Thursday for an intersectional feminist look and the centering of women's voices and people of color. We look at current events, public policy, and upcoming elections to give you the most incisive look into stories that don't get covered elsewhere.